This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, this is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, and today we're going to get a look at an awesome part of Jesus' character, and therefore see his power. But first, let's take a quick look at the Old Testament prophecy we just read. In Deuteronomy 18, Moses prophesied that the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him." You see, Moses prophesied Jesus' coming. Moses told the people that they should listen to him. That's the prophet that was coming. Moses told the people that this prophet would speak the very words of God because his mouth would be filled with nothing but the Word of God. Well, what we saw last week is that Jesus began fulfilling that prophecy from the very beginning. He got to the heart of the matter. He didn't waste time or mince words. Jesus rarely found it necessary to try to do a stand-up comedy routine to entertain the crowds so they would listen after loosening them up, so to speak. Jesus' words and his very heart were vibrantly alive. He spoke truth because he was and is the truth. He spoke life because he was and is the way and the truth and the life. Now, to see this more fully, we need to take note of the reality that Jesus was different from all of the other preachers of his time because of who he was, naturally. But his very nature, his ethos, if you will, what he is and was and is, was divine. Because of that, his character and his personality were perfect. No one could find anything really wrong with him, truthfully. If they did try to find fault, it was mostly because he stepped on their toes, so to speak, and pointed out their weak spots. As you know, people don't like to have their faults pointed out to them. Still, he lived perfectly, such that he authenticated or proved the words he said by how he lived. It's an unfortunate reality that this hasn't been the case with everyone who has or is preaching the gospel. The truth is this: it's very easy for a preacher to mistakenly or self-deceptively believe that he has achieved this higher plane of spiritual maturity that he's preaching about, when in fact he hasn't done any such thing. We can almost be like the flight announcer at an airport who fantasizes that they've actually been to all of those destinations they're announcing, when in fact they've never been anywhere but the airport grounds. Or to get back to reality, many Christians today can't back up what we say even though we've been on point doctrinally for years. All of this is to say that Jesus preached with authority and he backed up everything he said perfectly by how he lived. Kent Hughes uses the analogy that Jesus' sermons were like thunder because his life was like lightning. Jesus' passion, his love, his concern, his caring nature fueled everything he did with holy power. So intense was his compassion and feelings for those he was trying to reach that he wept over Jerusalem, the unrepentant city, and he ached in his gut for those lost crowds that thronged his every outdoor rally. There was intense feeling in every word he uttered. He believed his message, and he preached with urgency because he knew what was in the heart of men. It was this totally perfect ethos and passion that prompted his first disciples to instinctively know that he was the real thing. That's why they could so easily drop their nets and dedicate the rest of their lives to living for him. So now for today's gospel. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent, and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Well, here it is. Jesus went into the synagogue in Capernaum to teach. Now, remember that Capernaum was a small town on the upper northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, maybe about 2 miles from where the Jordan River flowed into the lake. And as a side note, visitors to Capernaum today can visit a second century synagogue that is very likely built on the very site of the one where Jesus preached this compelling message that amazed the people. Now, historically, Capernaum was a fishing town. The folks who lived there were fishermen, merchants, laborers, craftsmen with their families. They were the townsfolk who eagerly awaited the teaching of that traveling rabbi from Nazareth. The text tells us that they weren't disappointed. In fact, the verse tells us that they were astonished at his teaching. And here's where that ethos is coming into focus. They may not have realized that he was God the Son, nor their Messiah, but they just knew that there was something different about him. He taught them as one who had authority, and not like the scribes and the other religious officials of his day. I would almost be willing to say that they might have been spellbound because they had not heard anyone speak with the power and the authority of Jesus before. The only one in their time who might have even come remotely close to this was John the Baptist. You see, Jesus didn't quote anyone, like I've already done in this sermon. The Pharisees and the scribes had to quote some rabbi or other teacher. They cited rabbinic tradition. They talked about what the leading teacher of his day, Rabbi Hillel, said. All Jesus had to say was, "You have heard that it was said." And then he would add, "But I tell you." Think about that. He's not quoting another rabbi. He's not even quoting from John the Baptist. He's saying, "You've heard that it was said, but I tell you." And after that, he perfectly explained all of the law and the prophets. He preached God's word, not about God's word. And that's because he was and is the word. That's what astonished them. He spoke on his own authority because of who he was. And again, he backed up all of those words that he said by his perfect life. No one could find fault with him. They tried, but they couldn't really. Now, the passage gives us a stunning detail about this synagogue visit. The pure preaching of the word caused a reaction from one of the people in the synagogue. There was a man there who had an unclean spirit, the text tells us. The demon spoke through the man and said, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So then Jesus had to rebuke him and tell him to be quiet. The text tells us that Jesus then, like we said, rebuked the man, "Be silent and come out of him." It's interesting here that the text has an exclamation point after it. So that means that Jesus wasn't just kind of saying, "Well, you know, be quiet." He was emphatic. He might have even raised his voice because there was an exclamation point there. And that's an important detail. But here's another important detail. The demons, They recognized Jesus' power and authority. Why? Because they knew who he was. They knew his power and they knew his authority. Because he was there when they all got tossed out of heaven. They knew exactly who Jesus was. Now, what this teaches us is that when we're living as faithfully as we know how, and when we're walking with Christ, and when we're full of the Holy Spirit, the fleshly, worldly spirits in our world around us will get very uncomfortable. Have you ever been around somebody who just kind of said, well, you think you're better than everybody? Or, who do you think you are to be so high and mighty or some religious fanatic or something? We need to be, and that needs to have happened, or at least hopefully at some time it will. Now, R.C. Sproul told a story about one of his friends who was a Christian and who was playing on the PGA golf tour. And one day this friend was in a pro-am tournament paired with an amateur golfer, and the other pro in the foursome was another golfer who wasn't a Christian or R.C. Sproul's friend. It just also happened that the fourth man in that foursome was Billy Graham. Now, they played their round, they played the 18 holes for the day, and they got back to the clubhouse. And when they got back to the clubhouse, a friend asked the other pro, not the Christian, who was R.C.'s friend, how he did that day. And he said, the man said, it was a miserable day. Playing with Billy Graham, constantly trying to shove religion down my throat. Really? The friend asked, did he really do that? No, the man admitted, I just really had a bad round. In fact, Billy didn't say one thing about Jesus the entire time. Do you see what we're talking about here? When we're faithful to the Lord, and when we're consciously walking with Jesus, those fleshly inclinations of an unsaved person are going to notice and most likely get really uncomfortable, like that golfer did. We don't even have to be living the life perfectly, which is okay and pretty good for our sakes. We're likely to never be living the Christian life perfectly the way we're supposed to, but when we have the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit will do the talking for us, so to speak. But let's take note. With the Word, Jesus commanded that Spirit to leave, and we need to remember that when we're walking with Christ, we have the Holy Spirit in us. That same Spirit gives us the power to cast out and cast off those unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. Jesus has made that power available to even us. So our resolve today should be to turn our lives over to Christ completely. Let's not hold anything back. Let's draw near to God, and he will draw near to us, the way the passage in James says, and he will mold us the way he wants us to be. And when we do that, we'll not only have the testimony of Christ working in us, we'll have his power available to us too. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.